Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if all this talk of Al-Qaeda and suicide bombers makes you feel kind of powerless in the churning stream of human events, consider Glenn Genvey. He's a freelance terror investigator and working from his laptop sitting in his own home in rural southern England. Through a dummy website he set up, Mr. Genvey obtained the evidence that led to the arrest last year of Abu Hamza, the cleric who police believed incited worshippers to violence at the Finsbury Park Mosque in London last week. And Glenn Genvey is still at it, researching terror groups on the web and funneling information to Western intelligence agencies. Glenn Genvey, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
For those in our audience who may not know, Abu Hamza is that rather scary-looking to many cleric who's missing an eye and has a hook where he lost a hand in Afghanistan. He's wanted in the U.S. on charges of incitement to terrorist attacks, and there's a motion to extradite him here. What was the evidence that you got that led to his arrest, and how did you get it?
Basically, it was video evidence and audio tape evidence. And how I got it was basically posing as a fanatic myself, setting up a dummy website called Islamic News and pasting, copying articles from proper jihadi sites. From there, I used that as a cover to contact him via telephone and ask him for recruitment videos. In the videos, it was so damning that it led to the arrest of James Ujamaa in Seattle, and obviously Hamza himself eventually.
So take us further into that. How did you lure them into what exactly with a faux website?
Well, I posed as a Kashmiri press officer with Kashmiri News organization, posing as a jihadi who supported bin Laden, and he fell for it. So basically, the evidence which I actually recovered has actually led to his arrest and will probably lead to his conviction.
Is this so far as you know, is there any connection between Abu Hamza or other London-based terror groups and these young bombers from last week who were mostly from Leeds?
Yes, there is. There's actually Hamza's sidekick in London called Omar Baraki. And he's linked with Abu Hamza and the organizations of supporters of Sharia and Al-Mujur Arun. He's also linked on the videotapes to making statements like bombing buildings with planes, recorded before September 11th, and also to Luton. On one of the videotapes, it actually shows the Aden bomb plotters sat with Abu Hamza. And one of the Aden bomb plotters, if you know the subject, actually came from Luton, and he sat talking about an Egyptian brother being deported by Albanian authorities to Egypt.
Is this typical of the way that terror cells in Britain operate? Do they make videos? Do they share information over the internet commonly? And does that make them easier to find and to track?
They share a certain amount of information over the internet. But they also make video recordings of their private meetings for their own membership. They use them as like newspapers for the other members who can't attend the meetings and to recruit other youngsters. Hamza was a perfect example of this. The six videotapes, which were 12 hours long in total, and 20 audio tapes, showed a period of time going back several years before 9/11. And, it's typical of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups which I've studied, like the LTTE in Sri Lanka.
My guest is freelance terror investigator Glenn Genvey, and we can take some phone calls for him at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What is a freelance terror investigator? People in our listening audience might be surprised to find out that there even is such a thing. They would probably think that terrorism investigators would need to be associated with governments.
Yeah, basically, I actually go into the terrorist groups sometimes in person for various military attachés. I've worked for quite a few military attachés in London, where they, you know, obviously can't go themselves. I've actually gone in as in person or via the web or the phone and collected information.
By the way, to our listeners who might be interested in the notion of these videos that you've been describing, we've posted links to some videotapes of Hamza made available to us by our guest, Glenn Genvey. It's now on our blog. You can go to WNYC.org to see this video package, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Do you think the fact that you work independently enables you to get information that government employees or larger organizations can't get?
Yeah, I'm not restricted. Basically, what I do is to actually expose them. I give them over to the police and the military via members of the press. That way, under British law, that they don't have to disclose who gave them the information in a court of law. So I'm not restricted on how I actually gain the information.
Because journalists can protect their sources?
That's correct. So that's what I did on the Hamza case. I used several journalists to pass on to the police and the American embassy.
Have you been given any pause by the Robert Novak, Matt Cooper case?
Have I been given any?
There are a few journalists giving up their sources here in the United States these days on something else.
Yeah, well, I've actually written several statements for Scotland Yard on the Hamza case. So I've actually said that I'm willing to actually testify against him and for the American government as well.
Another of the cases that you helped to crack was the Aden bomb plot that you referred to. This was to take place in Yemen in 1998. This is different from the attack on the coal in Yemen. What was the Aden bomb plot, and what was your role in cracking it?
Basically, the actual Aden bomb plotters were on one of the Hamza's videotapes that I got hold of about 2 days after the American embassies were actually attacked. They had a meeting up north of England with Abdul Hamza and two members of the Aden bomb plotters speaking on video. And I passed this information on to the police again. They were actually discussing the embassy bombings and how it was carried out in great details, and they even admitted in their own words on tape that the information they were telling the audience wasn't even in the public domain or in the press. 5 months later, they went to Aden, and they tried to commit terrorist attacks against US and UK targets, and they kidnapped 16 Western tourists, and in a botched raid on the hostage takers, several of the tourists were killed.
And what did you do?
Well, basically, at a later date, I actually provided the Yemen government with a copy of the videos, and the ambassador in London set up his own team of investigators because Britain had, who were quite soft actually on the subject of British terrorists going abroad, protested at the time that the Yemeni government had given them an unfair trial, so they got light sentences and were deported back to the UK. And this is one of the ones who actually lived in Luton and is linked to the Egyptian wing of Al-Qaeda.
Glenn, are you surprised by what we've learned about the London bombers, that they were mostly British-born citizens of Pakistani origin with one Jamaican, and that they were mostly younger men?
Not at all. I mean, the videos I've actually seen and the evidence I've seen, the Finchley Park Mosque are mainly Bangladeshi and Pakistani followers who attended that mosque. There was a series of meetings which up and down the country held by supporters of Sharia organization by Abdul Hamza and his supporters. It's been going on for several years, and it's been unchecked by the British authorities. And now, obviously, they're going to have to act against these people. I would say it's my opinion that Omar Baraki is behind the recent attack. London, or the hateful cleric who actually inspired the youngsters to do the act.
And again, Omar Baraki is who?
He basically runs an organization called Al Mujahroon, which has also got Pakistani links.
My guest on WNYC is freelance terror investigator Glenn Genvey. Our phone number, 212-433-WNYC. And Willie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello there, gentlemen. Yeah, I have a question. It seems like my understanding of journalists is that they can be endangered when they're misperceived to be intelligence agents, when they're actually just simply working as journalists. So I guess the question would be, when you do that, are you concerned that you're endangering real journalists? And I will take my question off the air.
Thank you for your call. Glenn?
Yes. Obviously, I have to be careful. But it's most journalists, on seeing the material which I've provided them, have been so alarmed by it that they've actually felt it's their duty, like a member of the public, to hand it over to the authorities.
Walter in Carter, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations on a job well done. And
thanks.
Secondly, are you worried about your safety?
I didn't quite hear
the
that.
The question was, are you worried about your safety?
No, I'm a Christian. I believe everybody dies at one point in their life. The attacks on New York was absolutely horrific. I was actually adopted by an American serviceman. I'm not scared at all of them. I'm going to carry on exposing them.
What motivates you?
What motivates me is people like an old contact of mine, the American military attaché in London, who gave me some very good fatherly advice many years ago.
You mean seeing him? He gave you. I'm sorry. This American
advice. He gave me some good advice and respect many years ago when I worked for the Sri Lankans. My boss for Sri Lanka was the CIA counterpart in Sri Lanka, and was also a first secretary in London.
And
his counterpart, the American embassy, used to give me very good advice and encouragement.
And because he's American, then you want to help America? Is that what you're saying?
My adopted father, who's a civilian now, is actually American. So I was brought up in an American home. So really, the attacks and the abuse against Americans is actually abuse against my family equally.
Lester, and thank you for being open about that. Again, my guest, freelance terror investigator Glenn Genvey on WNYC, and Lester in Long Beach, you're on WNYC.
Yes, sir. There are 40 suitcase nuclear weapons that are unaccounted for. And in this country, there's 200 chlorine plants that could wipe out a state, I heard. As far as terrorism concerned, I believe the two most biggest terrorists, I think, that Christ warned us about it, is religion and the military. They don't pay taxes and they perpetuate each other. They promote wars because they need wars to keep their existence going. And as far as religion is concerned, we're the ones that propped up the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against the atheists. I think we'd be better off if we were helping the atheist communists instead of creating all this religious...
Lester, I can't let you go on and on, but a lot is done in the name of religion, Jen, and yet you are describing your motivation in part as being a Christian, or what sustains you in this work.
Being a Christian, I basically use nonviolence. I worked for a Buddhist military attaché who also preached nonviolence. I've also worked for India. Mahatma Gandhi used nonviolence and was well respected. To fight them.
Did you say a military attaché who promotes nonviolence?
Yes, several I know.
That a contradiction in terms?
No, not at all. I mean, one of my bosses was actually from Sri Lanka. He was also a Christian. time we'd meet, it was the only time he had to go to church outside the embassy in the daytime. He was a practicing Christian.
So you can believe in
Buddhist government.
So you can believe in nonviolence except when necessary. Is that what you're saying? And therefore work for the military.
I think the military, you know, we need to defend ourselves. We don't need to be sheep to the wolves.
Glenn, we became aware of your work through a report by Nick Robertson on CNN, and in that same report, Robertson spoke with a member of Hizbut Tahrir, a radical Islamist group in Britain, and this Hizbut Tahrir member made some statements that were meant to cast doubt on Osama bin Laden's responsibility for September 11th. He said, quote, "There is a great deal of skepticism around the kind of evidence that we're being asked to believe," unquote. Is that a tactic of Islamic extremists to sometimes applaud terror attacks, as Abu Hamza did in the Finsbury Park Mosque, but other times to cast doubt, as this man tried to do, on how terror attacks happen and who's behind them?
I think they want to see various countries argue amongst themselves and also not to share evidence, which could actually lead to people like him being arrested or thrown out of the UK. The group themselves are heavily involved in terrorism, have been for many years. I personally wouldn't go on even a program with the guy. They support terrorism. It's quite open. They're extremists. For many years, they've raised money to support terrorism from the UK abroad. And they've gone on even jihad holidays, which are on the video showing Britons killing in Bosnia, Kashmir, and various other countries, and then flying back into the UK as if nothing's happened.
We just have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
Tell us why, since you're an undercover independent terror investigator, you would even come on programs like this or the interview you did with CNN. Aren't you afraid of blowing your cover or making your voice too well known?
No, I work with a whole team now of people. I work with, obviously, Neil Doyle, who's written the book Terror Tracker, Jeremy Reynolds, who's writing the book War on the Internet. I have my partner, Jonathan Galt, Mrs. Galt, which are false names. So I have a little team who haven't actually exposed their cover at all. Someone needs to bring it out in the open, and your program's helping bring it out in the open.
Freelance terror investigator Glenn Genvey, I'm sorry that that has to be the last word, but we are out of time. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
For your work and for coming on with us. And you can see some of the videos related to Abu Hamza that Glenn was talking about on our blog. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show.